Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, and I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani. And you're listening to episode number 34, The Science of Change with Jennifer Morgan. So before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to take a second and thank you guys for listening. It's been my honor to be here and create this beautiful podcast and interview these gorgeous souls who are really truly making a difference, not only in their own lives, but helping other people just like you and me. And I'm so happy to be able to do this for everybody. And I would love if more souls tuned in, if more souls tapped into that place in their heart, not only the show, but that special place in their heart, that knowing of where they are right this very second, no matter what's happening, no matter what how they're feeling, that they are where they need to be. And I would be so, so grateful if you feel the same way, if you could head over to iTunes, to Witchy Wellness's page, and write a review. This would help me so much in spreading the word, but also helping others shine their light upon everybody else. And one of those beautiful souls is today's guest, Miss Jennifer Morgan. And she is a corporate consultant for NeuroChange Solutions, which is one of my favorite teacher and educator and all-around awesome person, Dr. Joe Dispenza's corporate training program. So what Jennifer and 85 other lovely souls do is they come into companies and they train the corporation and the employees and instill this idea and the actual practical tools to implement change from the inside out. So learning personal transformation, how that happens, what takes place, and how to actually put that into work at your corporation. And a few things that we covered today in the episode with Jennifer is how she recovered from deep spiritual and emotional trauma to now becoming a beautiful corporate wellness coach, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and how he bridges the gap between science and spirituality, how changing corporations and people comes from the inside out, what is metacognition, Hebbian law, how to learn from being the creator versus the victim of your life, why feelings are key in changing your own life, how the unknown and unexpected is actually really good and how the universe works, having a love affair with the divine, how to make your spiritual practice actually fun, a practical exercise to practice manifesting your dreams, how gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership, and how really stinking easy transformation and lifestyle changes can be, autonomy and sovereignty, and lastly, how to work with Morgan or one of other Dr. Joe's corporate trainers. So without further ado, here's episode number 34 with Jennifer Morgan, The Science of Change. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And today I am so excited to have my dear friend Jennifer Morgan on. And she is a corporate consultant for one of my favorite teachers, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and his corporate wellness company called NeuroChange Solutions. And she is one of the 85 global-based corporate consultants. She's actually in Omaha, Nebraska, but she travels worldwide helping companies and people who are interested and passionate about transformation. So thank you so much for coming on the show and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful to be here with you, Lauren.
Yeah, I am too. I'm so excited to have somebody, well, all my guests get it, but like have somebody who studies similar work. We can dive deep into this because you are a coach who's trained in all of Dr. Joe's corporate wellness programs. So I actually wanted to start off and ask you, how did you get here? You know, how did you get interested in the corporate wellness world, but also your own, you know, personal transformation, because I know so many of us drawn to this work, you know, have healed ourselves. And when you do that, you become so whole and fulfilled that you just want to help shine your light for other people.
That's beautiful. Exactly. You're so right. Well, I got into this work because, well, my journey actually began a long time ago. I'm 40 as of January this year. And when I was a young girl, 4 years old, I was sitting across from my father, who said, "You are going to burn in the lake of fire forever if you don't take Jesus Christ as Savior." And I had this moment of hesitation and like asking privately in my mind, well, who is Jesus Christ? And then ultimately I was like, okay, yes, I totally believe. But there was this just profound moment of fear. I mean, rock me to the core fear, a severe emotional jostling. And there were years on end that I suffered just emotional and spiritual trauma, just thinking of that moment of hesitation, like asking the question, well, who is Jesus? You know, wondering if I was saved and if I was going to burn in the lake of fire forever. And that's, you know, I'm so grateful for that time, because between the time when I was 4 and I had that conversation with my dad and the time I was 17, when I woke up and I was completely inconsolable, senior in high school, didn't go to school that day because my parents didn't know what to do with me. I was such a wreck, because it all came just bubbling over and boiling out. And I was so worried when I could finally speak and I wasn't as emotional, I could finally get it out. And my parents were like, "Oh my God, don't you know that you care so much? You're obviously saved. And because you care so much, and why have you been holding this in for all of these years? And why didn't you talk to us about it?" And I just always wanted to have it all together and be, you know, as the oldest child, be kind of the one that had it all under control, and kind of having these motherly instincts and nurturing instincts from a very, very young age. I just wanted to be able to project that I had it all together, and kind of just strong-willed, very Capricorn-like person. I think from a very young age, I just wanted to project that it was all under control. And that morning when I was 17 and I didn't go to school that day, senior year, and finally came to grips with the understanding that, oh my gosh, I've been suffering for all of these years with a mental concept that could be flawed. It didn't ever occur to me that that it was self-inflicted potentially. And so, but I'm so grateful for that time frame, because it gave me so many inner capacities, deep understanding of giving my best, doing my best, always being very sincere and pure-hearted in my intentions, and wanting so badly with all my heart to be saved and to be understood and to listen to other people, because I knew on a very deep level what it was like to suffer, I mean, to the core of my spiritual architecture. And I'm so grateful for that time, because I have, ever since I found Dr. Joe, I've just fire hosed myself with Dr. Joe Dispenza's teachings. And it's interesting because, you know, when I was 26, I had 2 miscarriages and I was kind of in my own way. I thought a lot different than I do now. I was kind of victim consciousness oriented and knew that I had to change, knew that I had to get out of my own way. And that was 14 years ago. And so I saw What the Bleep Do We Know, the movie or documentary that Dr. Joe Dispenza is in. And then I saw The Secret, and I had been reading a book that changed my life. I probably read it like 9 times and just wrestled with it. It was called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And it was beautiful. One of my clients gave it to me, and I sell real estate as well. One of my clients gave it to me and said, "I think you should read this book. It's amazing. It's very powerful. And I think you would like it. And I just devoured it and gobbled it up. And I wrestled with it so much because it seemed to indicate that there's something within us that nothing outside of us could really alter. And it seemed to not necessarily omit religion, but it seemed to go hand in hand with it. Like one doesn't exclude the other. And essentially being able to harness your attention and intention and the power of your energy. So I read that. I saw what the bleep do we know. I saw the secret and I dove into every spiritual teacher's teachings. And then I reconnected with Dr. Joe's work a couple of years ago when I saw him at Agape International Spiritual Center, Michael Bernard Beckwith's spiritual center in LA. And it was a few years after Michael Beckwith renewed my vows with my husband and I. And he was so electrifying in that talk. And Dr. Joe Dispenza was, I just knew immediately that because he was so able to pull together all of the information that I had learned over the last 14 years so quickly and easily and really sum it up scientifically, because then there's no guesswork. It's all science. And Dr. Joe Dispenza is so right when he says science is the contemporary language of mysticism, because it was so easy to follow and so easy to apply the information, the principles that he has uncovered over the years in his work, that I immediately was just drawn to it. And I knew that I had to teach it. And this was a couple of years ago when I saw him in Agape. So it was like a resounding inner yes within me. And that's why I'm where I'm at, where I am now. And I am so, so grateful, because it's the privilege of my life. It's like my life's purpose, my soul's agenda to explain it, to experience it with other people, to witness their inner transformation. And essentially it's changing corporations from the inside out by changing people from the inside out and allowing them to uncover the gifts and talents and capacities within them so that they can give them to the world. And if everyone can individually shine, it gives other people permission to shine around them. And it's a beautiful thing to witness. I can't imagine a higher experience for me. That was a long answer.
But a very beautiful one. Like I just sitting here like, yes, please tell me more. Tell me more. once you experience, I'm sure I'll link a bunch of Dr. Joe videos in the show notes, but I felt the same way when I first heard him talk. I think it was probably on YouTube, might have been What the Bleep or something on Gaia TV. And the everything just effortlessly flows and connects, and things that you were interested in and concepts are all tied together. And the big thing for me was like, I can change, you know, and I can take control of my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings, you know, my actions, and I can redirect those to a new version of myself. Mm. And I just knew, I started doing a workshop of his online, and within a week of doing that progressive workshop, I needed to go to his advanced. I just knew, which is a week long of meditating. And a lot of people get nervous about that, but it's absolutely amazing. And it just reinstills and reinforces all of those teachings. And it, like you said, it's transformation from the inside out, which most people, we think matter to matter. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you speak more to this rather than changing our internal state and making sure, you know, no thoughts, monitor our feelings and our thoughts, and nothing gets past us without us realizing it, which is called metacognition. And I'll leave this open to you because I know you're going to have so many beautiful things to say about these topics.
Thank you. Well, you hit the nail on the head. So Dr. Joe is very well known for saying, if you understood the power of your thoughts, you'd never let a single thought slip by your awareness. It's, I mean, when you really hear that and you digest it, it is so fascinating. And it's enticing because to dive into that thought process, because it's like when I very first heard that and understood that and started reading the book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, I wrestled with it so much because the idea was, oh my gosh, what? I'm creating my experiences. I didn't ask for this situation to happen. And that's where the fun begins. If you're able to get past yourself, because through metacognition, in other words, subjectifying your objective self, you're able to witness your thought processes and go, oh, wait a minute, that's not a loving thought. That's not who I want to be. And you are essentially reprogramming, rewiring your brain. And there's a principle in neuroscience, Habian Law, that says nerve cells that fire together, wire together. So you're literally pruning apart the thought processes, the neural networks, the neurocircuitry in your brain that no longer serves you, that you're pruning apart those thoughts when you are engaging in metacognition. And metacognition, again, is witnessing your thoughts from a witness perspective rather than your thought being carried away by your thought processes and then ultimately being carried away by your emotions. Because if you can't mediate or regulate your thoughts or your feelings, or worst case scenario, your feelings have become the means of your thinking, then you're always going to be swept away by by the thought processes and the feelings that come along with that, that will carry you from one circumstance and situation and event to another, rather than being the creator of your life. So this is why I'm so drawn to this work, because I want everyone to be able to harness their power here. And it is so liberating to live this way. I think that everyone should really, as Dr. Joe Dispenza says, kind of just become very interested in being the scientist of their life and really experimenting day to day with their life and just, you know, be in meditation. Sit, because if you don't know what your thoughts are on a moment-to-moment basis, just sit down for 30 minutes. You know, sit down for 30 minutes and notice what your mind is doing. Notice where your head goes. And maybe you're thinking about, maybe things surface like doubts, maybe situations and circumstances surface like, oh my gosh, I really need to get up and do this and go get on this phone call and go clear this up. In my businesses and real estate, especially where it's, I'm negotiating two or three contracts at the same time. It's like, those thoughts surface immediately. And I'm like, no, right now is for me. That's the outside world. And ultimately the inside world is way more important than anything in the outside world, because the inside world is what is creating the outside world. We in our 3D reality, the three-dimensional reality endorses the five senses, you know, and the inner reality, what we're creating from our inner reality is affecting change ultimately. So in other words, if we can go within on a daily basis and just become familiar with, which is actually the meaning of the word meditation, is to become familiar with. If we can become familiar with our thoughts and our corresponding feelings, because every time you have a thought, you create a chemical, which is called a feeling within the body. Your body is the unconscious mind, doesn't know the difference between a feeling that we can create through an experience or a feeling that we can create by thought alone. If we can become familiar with on a daily basis, make time for our precious selves, ideally minimum of a half an hour, and cultivate the thought processes and the feelings that are elevated, then our life will begin to change almost immediately. And as Dr. Joe says, I always like to end the meditation with a moment of just declaring that, hey, show me a sign, bring me an unequivocally complete indication that what I did today, what I did here, is changing my reality and bring it to me in a way that is unpredictable, that I can't predict, that's unfamiliar, that will catch me off guard, and that I will know without question that it came from what I did today, because I want my connection with the divine to be of the utmost importance. My date with the divine every single day is a passionate love affair, and it's the most important thing to me, like the absolute best time of my day, in the morning and in the evening, when I have those moments of recognition with who I truly am, the core of my being, you know. And that's when you're really connecting to the self that is allowing our bodies to breathe, that's allowing our hearts to beat, that's allowing our lungs to extract oxygen without any conscious help from us. We're connecting with that source within that knows how to operate our bodies better than our conscious mind, because it's the living intelligence that we're all made of. And no one is so special that they're excluded from that equation. So through metacognition, I think it's really, really important to get still, and in order to be able to harness your power.
Another way of saying that is, you know, you touched on stepping out of being a victim and becoming mm-hmm. the creator of your life. And what I always like to think, if I'm stuck in a program, you know, if I'm reacting in a way that I don't want to be reacting or thinking about, you know, Lauren, do I feel like life is happening to me, or is life happening for me? And how can I course correct? And those two simple words that are changed in that phrase is really a game changer, because once you actually believe that you are a creator of your life and that you can take responsibility, you know, for where you are in your life, and not a bad way, not a shameful way whatsoever, you know, in a fun way. Like this, the stuff we're talking about here is powerful, but like, I know we both share the sentiment that like, it should be fun. Life should be fun. This shouldn't be quote unquote work or something you have to do, because then you won't want to do it, you know?
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't say enough about that. You hit the nail on the head there. It sounds all heavy and esoteric, but the main thing is to make it fun, because it sounds like a feat. It sounds like a major feat. If we have, researchers tell us that we have like 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, okay? So if we have 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day and you're not used to monitoring your moment-to-moment thought process and emotional patterns, it sounds pretty intimidating to undertake that kind of thing, because like, how in the world am I going to, number one, get my head around it, and number two, it sounds super overwhelming, but that's where the fun begins. Because if you can begin to notice your state of being, then you can begin to change it. And if you're changing your state of being, you're literally turning your love inward and drawing energy back to you, because your energy is connected to every single thought that you have. And because that is so, like the neurocircuitry that you have in your mind on your daily basis, you wake up thinking about something and your energy is connected to it. Every memory is connected to an emotion. And if you can't mediate or regulate that, then you're swept away by your day and you kind of become sort of a sleepwalker in your waking day and in your life. And so I think it is so important to make it fun, because if you don't make it fun, then it seems like it's such a chore. And I feel like the divine absolutely matches your efforts, and it's feeding the living organism. So if it's matching your efforts and you're sitting down with pure heart, pure intention, pure attention, pure sincerity and authenticity, like, I know this isn't necessarily going to be simple, but by gosh, I'm going to make it fun and I'm committed to it, because my life is going to change pretty much immediately if I'm sincere about it, my intention. And then, you know, your vibration stays high and you just go, all right, I'm in, I'm all the way in. And I think that early on in my life with kind of the spiritual trauma, it made me very, very locked on, very interested in being present, being concerned with what I was thinking, what I was doing. Although, you know, when I later in my 20s, when I had the miscarriages and I kind of reverted back to sort of a victim mentality because I knew I was saved. It's like, nobody needs that trauma. Nobody needs to go through anything terrible or scary. They can just change their mind in an instant. They can commit to the sort of lifestyle by just deciding that they want to change their reality. And, you know, if you want it badly enough, you'll engage. And so I think one way that you can make it really fun and interesting and ever engaging and just become super passionate about your moment to moment life, even if you're surrounded by negative people and family members that'll think you're nuts, you can, one way to do that is take out a piece of paper. You just take out a piece of paper and write down in the center. Dr. Joe has taught this in his advanced workshops. Write down in the center of the page what exactly it is, the clear intention that you want to manifest in your life. Whether it's an event or a person or travel or lifestyle or a new career or a child or a spouse, whatever it is, write it down, circle it. And maybe you make like a C in the middle of the page for career or whatever the case may be. You circle that letter or write the name of it, whatever is going to be the most meaningful to you. There's no wrong way to do this. You circle that, and then you branch out, and you write all of these things around it that will invoke the feeling in you and teach your body chemically what your mind has intellectually understood, so that you're living in that future present reality right now. And if you're living in that future present reality right now, you're calling energy back to you because you've got a clear intention and you're just enveloped by these elevated emotions from this exercise. And let's say you write the word C for career in the center and you circle it. And maybe at the top you write a straight line at the top and you write at the top of that straight line, supernatural. And maybe off to the right, you write another offshoot and that other offshoot says fearless. And maybe another offshoot to the right that says fulfillment. Maybe another offshoot beneath fulfillment. And it says, this doesn't even feel like a job. And maybe beneath that, you write joy. And maybe beneath that, you write benevolence. And beneath that, passion. And beneath that, oh my gosh, what a blast. And beneath that, I'm giving my gifts. And beneath that, I'm helping a massive amount of people. And beneath that, maybe you write, I spring out of bed every day. And now you're halfway around the circle. And to the left now, you're writing, oh my gosh, I have such a level of heart-brain coherence. My heart is open. And then to the left of that, just above, you're writing, I manifest things easily and quickly. And then around the corner, you put, wow, this is so lucrative. And this is just fun, okay? To the left, you write, holy cow, I'm speaking in to huge corporations and huge events. It's beyond anything I could have possibly imagined. And then above that, you write, I'm so grateful. And it's so important to write, I'm so grateful, regardless of what it is, because gratitude is the ultimate emotional signature of receivership. If you can teach your body chemically what your mind is understood intellectually, in other words, you're creating your reality in the future, in this present moment, you're drawing it to you more quickly because you're already feeling the feelings. You're liberating energy by drawing energy back to you away from density and out of density from those limited emotions like doubt or guilt or shame or the emotions that you're used to feeling. And you're feeling more light and more buoyant. And you're creating a larger electromagnetic field around your body that you can't see with your eyes, but you can literally feel it with your senses because you just feel light and you feel buoyant and you feel more alive and your heart is open. And then at the same time or simultaneously, you're becoming the vortex for creation. You're drawing these circumstances and events to you because now you're vibrating on a higher level.
I love that so much. Mm-hmm. and you guys can tell, like, thank you for sharing all those examples because, you know, we're so familiar with this lingo and the process, but to break it down like that for someone who's maybe interested and doesn't know much about this, it's all about your emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And what we're talking about today is that you need to generate and focus on those feelings of how you want to feel. Yes. And less on the trauma of the past or your current state of being where you don't want to feel. And it's really, that's all that it is. And, you know, and I loved how you paint that picture that career is not just the new title of the career or, you know, the abundance or whatever you're looking for physically. It's actually the way that you want to feel when you get there. But this teaching and those, that practice that you shared, you do that right now. You can do that right now. And that's what I do. I was just sharing with you before we started recording, you know, yesterday, my meditation, I have these songs that I have a little visual board. We call it Mind Movie, where I have a picture, an affirmation, and a song that ties, you know, that my whole dream together of my future self. And afterwards, I'm dancing around to the music and I'm just feeling and becoming that self. And I listen to those songs in the car every morning on my way to work instead of getting frustrated, stuck in traffic, or this takes so long. I'm actually in tears now because I'm so in love with those emotions and myself. And that sometimes people might think that's crazy, but I don't care because I want to feel like that all the time. I want to feel so grateful and passionate about life that I'm brought to tears. Who wouldn't want to feel like that, really? I mean,
truly, who wouldn't want to? Well, you hit the nail on the head there. What you just said is beautiful. You should start, everyone, I feel like, should start the day that way, right?
Yes. Because yes.
Lose the magic. You want to just go throughout your day with the magic because, you know, if you lose the magic in traffic, somebody cuts you off and you're angry about it, then you just gave your power away and nothing's worth it. Nothing is worth it. In other words, as I said before, your inner world is so much more important than anything in your outer world because you're creating every single moment of every single day. So you might as well consciously participate in it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I kind of started first in the health arena, then I got into law of attraction type stuff and Dr. Joe, and this is law of attraction. In a nutshell, is you have to become that person. And I just love how, you know, what you've talked about and how Dr. Joe teaches the practical steps, scientifically proven, you know, science, like you said, science is the contemporary language of mysticism. And I find that to be so true and powerful is when you understand at a deeper level what's happening to your brain when you meditate and retrain it to these emotions. And it's not just stuck in that situation in the meditation. You actually go out into your life and you become aware and act that way all day long is the goal, not just on your meditation cushion, and to actually transform. And this can be any lifestyle change. And a lot of people think that, you know, I'm born this way. my parents are like this, you know, I'm never going to change. That lifestyle change I want to attain is just so big. I am so far from that. I would love to hear maybe more on what you have to say about life, how lifestyle changes can be so easy, and how you can let go of your old programs and completely transform into a new lifestyle.
Thank you. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to talk about that because I'm super passionate about transformation. It's been so, so liberating for me to go, oh my God, it's a playground. This world is a playground. I have complete dominion over my thoughts and I have complete dominion over my feelings. And I'm going to teach my body chemically what my mind has understood intellectually based on my clear intentions. And so it's so much fun to change because you're literally dismantling and denaturing the programs or the old self, the thought processes and emotional patterns, emotional baggage that no longer serve you, and transforming or transmuting that energy, transcending, becoming someone new. And I love and am super passionate about our advanced workshops that Dr. Joe Dispenza puts on, because so many people are healed in those workshops and out of those workshops just by becoming engaged in the process of transformation and meditating and noticing what their thoughts are doing. Because if you're mismanaging your energy and you don't even know it, it's really quite fun to be able to go, okay, let's iron out these kinks. Let's hit this issue head on, so to speak. At first, it's tedious and it's frustrating, but you got to just stick with it because there's nothing more liberating, more fun about watching change happen before your eyes in your life. And sometimes it's like instant gratification and sometimes it's not. It just becomes part of who you are when you notice that you're not having a loving thought and it's so much fun to change it. And you can change your life very, very quickly just by going, all right, well, this seems to be resurfacing. This theme seems to continue to unfold in my waking day, as far as my thought processes, or even, synchronistic pattern of circumstances or events. And the fun part is that you can go, let's flip it. How can I change it for the better? How can I reframe what just unfolded? Maybe it was something in traffic. Maybe it was a difficult phone call, wherever the case may be. But instead, how about you just reframe what you just experienced or something that you've experienced over and over in your mind? Maybe it was a trauma. How can you reframe it to in a way that would benefit you, in a way that would serve you? I say this all the time to my friends, and my friends have become really appreciative of this, the ones that have stuck with me, because I'll say, wait a minute, time out, re-say that in a way that serves you if it's something that is negative. And so how do you change things? You change things by deciding that your thoughts aren't, your unconscious thoughts are not going to be the means of your mentation or your thinking anymore. The mentation meaning the constant loops that you're going through over and over in your mind. And instead, you decide that this world is a playground. You have dominion over your thoughts. You're going to decide what you want to think and how you want to feel. Because if every time you have a thought, your body makes a chemical, and that's called a feeling, and you're training your body as the unconscious mind how to think and feel, you want to liberate yourself from the chains of the past. And the only way to do that is to look at it. What you resist persists, and what you look at disappears, right? So if you're looking at it, it no longer has the emotional charge. You're able to say, all right, here we go. Welcome, panic. Come on in. I'm here for you. I'm looking at you. And then pretty soon you don't need anything outside of you to, in order to create balance or homeostasis within your mind and body. People in this work have gotten off of medication for anxiety or all manner of things. They've healed themselves of all kinds of ailments, as you're aware of, Lauren. And that's the most liberating thing. Now they're looking for the edges in their life that they can smooth out, because it's fun, because they're in adventure. They're no longer sleepwalking. They're consciously participating with their soul's evolution. And what's more fun than that, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to touch on next, exactly, is what you just said of, you know, looking for those edges to smooth out. That just because you're practicing this type of work and really becoming the creator in your life does not mean every single day is going to be filled with rainbows and butterflies. Like, things are going to happen. That's life. And it's just your perspective and say, okay, great. Just because this is reflecting something that I don't feel is true does not mean I have to go back to my old self or a negative program. You know, maybe you wanted to get a new job and you found this new position opening and you interviewed and applied for this job and you found out that you didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Don't let that let you slip out of practicing this. Don't let this knock you down. You know, for me, I call that a test or initiation to say, how committed am I to where I want to be, to that future state, to my future self? I'd rather stay there with her than get drawn back to where I was before. And it's not perfect. We're going to react. Each time we can shorten that refractory period and you know, get back to where we want to be, that's transformation right there in my book. And that's the most heroic thing you can do in any manner of your life.
I love that. That's just beautiful. I couldn't have said that better. That was just beautiful. Because it's true. If you can shorten that refractory period of chemicals, then you are moment by moment dismantling and denaturing the old self, or in other words, the program. And if 95% of the thoughts are subconscious programs that you have, you almost can't help but go back to the program. It just requires, and as Dr. Joe Dispenza says, I don't care if you miss a meditation, I care about how quickly you get back to the practice, because if you're getting back to it, you're being conscious. You're caring about your future. You're being defined by a vision of the future rather than the programs or the familiarity of the past. And if 90% of the thoughts that we had today are the same thoughts that we had the day before, then, you know, you're literally picking up yesterday and putting it on top of today. And that's why so many people fall into unconscious patterns and it essentially end up sleepwalking. If by the time you're 35 years old, your subconscious mind is in 95% of your subconscious mind makes up your brain, then 5% of your conscious mind makes up your brain, then you're really acting by the patterns that you've become unconscious of and habits that you've created over the last 35 years. So you have to literally step into a new state of being. Your personality is created by your personal reality, or excuse me, your personal reality is created by your personality, and your personality is made up of how you think and how you act and how you feel. And so if how you think and how you act and how you feel is your personality, and it's intimately connected with your personal reality, you literally have to become someone else. And how do you do that? Well, it all starts with the thought, right? So you have to decide to think differently. You have to think new thoughts. And in order to think new thoughts, you have to become familiar with the thoughts that you normally think. And if you start thinking new thoughts, those new thoughts are going to lead to new choices. And new choices always lead to higher behaviors. Demonstrating
prior behaviors then leads to new experiences. And the new experiences will lead to new feelings. And those new feelings will inspire greater thoughts. And so that's evolution. And so you hit the nail on the head, Lauren, when you said that that is the way you evolve. I don't think you said it exactly that way. I couldn't have said it better than the way you said it. But essentially, if you're thinking new thoughts, you're going to live a more adventurous lifestyle. You're not going to be in the program. And you know, you can't help but go back to the program, but you just have to be patient with yourself and make it fun and decide to be the observer of your thoughts and kind of laugh at those thoughts that don't serve you. Because when you sit down in meditation, your body's going to throw the kitchen sink at you after maybe 5 minutes, maybe after 10 minutes. If you commit to doing it for an hour, maybe it's the last 10 minutes that are the most difficult because your body is bucking and kicking and wants to get up and do something and be quote unquote useful. Or maybe it says, I need a coffee really bad, or my bladder's going to explode, or whatever the case may be. But you decide to teach your body that you're the mind, it's not the mind any longer, that you're the mind, then ultimately practicing that over and over and over will make the body trust you, and you'll trust yourself more, and you'll decide to just surrender more deeply into what is trying to come through you and ultimately as you, as your higher self and your the divine's intention for you, and allowing yourself to be used as a vehicle for the divine. I think that is the ultimate definition of autonomy. Autonomy, I'm big on autonomy and sovereignty, freedom of thought, and deciding for oneself how to think and how to act and how to feel. But I think the ultimate definition of autonomy is a little bit dichotomous in that ultimately, if you are wanting to be the full expression of your divine self, you are surrendering to that entirely. And so, and knowing without question, after a lot of practice, what it is that is your soul's agenda. And I think that is the self-actualization in the hierarchy of needs, because that to me is the ultimate state of receivership, because you're like, all right, use me. I'm yours. I know that there is something that wants to come through me, whether it's dormant or latent gifts and talents and capacities. Just let's bring them forth. Let's give them out, because I'm here for a short time and I want to be the best possible living divine being that I possibly can, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I always think throughout my day of the phrase to me and through me, you know, connecting back with the divine and myself. And I loved how you explained, you know, we're surrendering our sense of self to the divine, but it's ironic that by surrendering and becoming no one essentially, that you're actually able to see and feel a clearer picture of who you are, yourself, and what you're supposed to be here doing. Mm-hmm. And that's something people I always need to practice on, is the art of surrendering. Mm-hmm. is a challenge, but every time you do, wow, it's very, very powerful. And on that note, we could talk for hours. I'm sure we'll have to have you back on, because I'm super excited and engaged. I'm sure all the listeners want to hear more too. And on that note, how can our listeners, or maybe the companies they work for, the corporations, work with you or work with Dr. Joe's corporate training program?
Yeah. They can. So listeners can, if they'd like to see change, maybe it's a toxic environment. Maybe there are some things that need to change within their company, their corporation. They can go to Dr. Joe Dispenza's website and click on the corporate training tab. They can reach me, and we'll put my information in the show notes through my email, Jennifer M at neurochangesolutions.com. And again, that'll be in the show notes, but I would love to see people just sit down every day, take time for their precious sacred self and cultivate this magnificent capacity that's already inherent within, because if we change, the world will change. We'll see incredible changes very quickly. And it's so, so liberating. I can't think of any more fulfilling way to live. And so I would just love to see people take time for their precious selves.
I would too. And it's once you, and you said it to me earlier, is once you're able to, you know, connect with yourself and really shine in, with you, you know, practicing what you preach, you actually allow others, you know, to give themselves the permission to shine too. Mm-hmm. And that's what I know both of us are about, is just, you know, we want to show up for ourselves so we can be of service for humanity, the entire world, and inspire other people to do that in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. It just gives me goosebumps. I love talking to everybody on this show because so many different topics, but all so passionate and all, you know, so heartfelt that you can really feel this is their mission. This is their divinity coming through.
That's so true. And I love your listeners and I love the podcast guests that you've had on. And I just feel so privileged and grateful because you're doing beautiful work in the world. So thank you for allowing me to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank mm-hmm. you. And on that note, did you have anything else you wanted to share before we start to wrap the episode up?
Please just everyone commit to shining your light, because you shining your light gives permission for others. As we've said several times, but I can't really drive it home enough.
Yeah. And I think you answered this last question, but I will just ask you again. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so grateful to know you, to have you in my life, but also for you to share all this beautiful information with all of us and providing all the listeners with some value. How can we be of service for you? How can the listeners step up and provide you with some value?
Well, as I said before, just commit to going within every day, shining your light, being more conscious of yourself. And if I can, or any of my wonderful colleagues at NeuroChange Solutions can help in your organization, please reach out. This is our passion. This is what we're made for. And we love to be of service.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing the work that you do and coming on here. And yeah, I'm sure we will hear from you again sometime soon.
Yay. I would love that. Thank you, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.